in verse number 1. The Bible said, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, the upright lovely. I am black but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for the privilege to be in the house of God. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word, for the opportunity that we have to read it, to study it, to learn from it, the help that it gives, the blessing that's ours in it. I pray that You'll help us today to glorify our Lord Jesus. May Your precious name be honored in all that is said and done. I do ask You to give grace and liberty in the house of God this morning. Move every heart for Christ and bless every soul, meet every need, satisfy every longing spirit in this place today, and save every old lost sinner by the good grace of God. And we'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As I've said so many times about the Song of Solomon, it is a love song between the bridegroom and his bride, between the Lord and the church. In Solomon's lifetime, he wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. Out of that 1,005 songs, this composition is the masterpiece that Solomon wrote. It is his greatest work that he done according to the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that Scripture is inspired by the Lord, by the Spirit of God, and the Holy Ghost Himself testified to that fact that this is Solomon's Song of Songs. There is nothing any greater than this particular song that Solomon has written for you and I. Now, beginning in verse number 2 and down through verse number 7, we have the bride speaking not only to the Lord, but to the daughters of Jerusalem. But then in verse number 8, the bride ceases to speak, and the Lord Himself begins to speak to us. And it's there that He says, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women," He said, "go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." If God will help me for a little while this morning, I want to take that thought that our Lord makes there on going forth by the footsteps of the flock and preach on the thought, footprints that make the pathway glow. I'm glad, thank God, that there are some footsteps that make the pathway glow. May I say by way of introduction this morning that the pathway of the pilgrim is not always an easy way. But I'm glad, thank God, that there are some footsteps, my friend, that make the pathway glow. And if we'll keep our eyes upon those footsteps rather than upon the troubles around us, I'll assure you that it'll make our pilgrim journey a little more precious and a little more blessed to our hearts as we move along our Christian way, having our souls anchored in the grace of God and expecting someday to reach the pearly gates of heaven. I do expect to get there, by the way. Amen to God. That's right. I expect to make it all the way in to the pearly gates. Now, down through these verses, the bride makes three requests to Solomon. She said, first of all, in verse number 2, she said, "Kiss me. Kiss me with the kisses of reconciliation. Let us reconcile." Somebody said, "How can that be?" Well, you've heard the old statement, old saying, between a man and his wife, let's kiss and make up. I believe that's what the bride is saying here. I've sinned and separated us, and there's sin that's come between us. So let's kiss and make up. Give me that kiss of reconciliation. And then in verse number 4, she asked another question. She said, "Draw me, and I will run after thee." That is, draw me into your fellowship, and I will run to you in that intimate fellowship. But in verse number 7 then, she said, "Tell me where you feed and where you rest your flock at noon." And the Lord, in verse number 8, gives her the answer, or He answers the question that she has asked Him. She said, "Where do you feed, and where does your flock rest by noon?" And the Lord answers that question. He said, "If thou know not." Now I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God that that is not a rebuke from the Lord, but it is simply a gentle and a tender exhortation from the Lord. Apparently, the bride here has got some sort of a lack of knowledge. And by the way, she has already confessed her imperfections to the Lord. She said, "I am an imperfect being." Friend, I've got news for you. When you think that you've arrived, you're headed down the tube of destruction and despair. There's none of us that have arrived. I'll tell you, this Pentecostal crowd that runs around all over the country telling folks that they are sinlessly perfect and that they have not sinned since they've been saved, my friend, that is a lie out of hell. You mark that down. As long as we're in this body of clay, this flesh is not yet glorified, and it is subject, my friend, to sin against the Lord. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't believe that." The Bible said if we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth, my friend, is not in us. And she has here, she has already confessed to the Lord of her imperfections. She said, "I am not perfect." She said in verse 5, "I am black, but I am comely." I am black with sin outwardly, but I'm comely inwardly. Black by sin and comely by grace. In verse number 6, she confesses that she's neglected herself. Boy, I'll tell you what a grievous sin that is when we take care of other people's business and then fail or neglect our own selves and our own vineyard. And then in verse 7, she said that she has failed to feed herself on spiritual food because of a lack of knowledge. She said, "Tell me where you're feeding at." I do not know. You will have to show me, where are you feeding at? And by the way, Hosea said that my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. May I say to you, friend, that people in churches today are destroying themselves for a lack of knowledge. God has given us the Word of God, and He's given us the Holy Spirit as a guide, and it's not God's fault if we're starving to death spiritually and living in spiritual poverty. It is our own, my friend, and this reveals some sort of an ignorance of the bride, not knowing where the Lord is feeding. She said, "Where? Tell me, where are you feeding?" And the Lord very gently exhorts her with the words, "If thou knowest not." And I know He's not rebuking her, for He said, "O thou fairest among women." I tell you, she saw herself as a sinner, but the Lord saw her as the fairest among women. I'm glad, thank God, that when He looks on me, He doesn't see me as I am, but He sees me through the precious blood of the Son of God, already seated at the right hand of the Father, glorified and living in a holy estate at the right hand of God. Somebody said, "How can that be, preacher?" All I know is that which He has begun in you and I, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm glad when He looks at us, He does not see our imperfections, but He sees us in a holy estate, purified and complete in the Lord. Amen. Now, she asked that question. She said, "Where are you feeding at?" And the Lord answers, "If thou knowest not." He said, "You follow the footsteps of the flock." There are some footsteps along the way, church, that makes the pathway glow. There have been those that have went on before us that we can follow their footsteps, and they have left us an example behind that we might follow after them. We can follow the experiences of those who have preceded us. I tell you, we're failing miserably in taking advantage of history. Amen to God. We can learn so much from history and historical events. And by the way, the Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that everything that happened to the Old Testament saints of God happened to them for an example to you and I. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're miserably failing today because we have failed, my friend, to look at the example of God's people before us, learn from their mistakes and avoid them, and then learn from their conquests and enjoy them. We have failed miserably to follow the footsteps of those that have went on before us in this pilgrim life that we are living for the glory of God. History, if it's rightly used, becomes a guide of hope. So I look back at those men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if they made it, it gives me a hope. I've got a hope that if they made it, I'm going to make it also. I look at Jeremiah in the pit, lowered down to his persecutors, and it encourages my heart that if he made it through the persecution, that God will surely bring me through the persecution also. I look at Elijah, a man left alone as a prophet of God in all Israel, and it gives me hope. If Elijah made it as God's sole prophet, it encourages me, my friend, amen to God, that if it comes down, there's nobody left preaching on this earth but me and the Holy Ghost. If Elijah made it, I'm going to make it. I'm simply saying there are some footsteps of experience that make the pathway glow if we'll get our eyes on the footsteps. And if we know not where it feeds this flock, if we'll follow the footsteps, they'll ultimately bring us there. That's right. Yesterday enriches today. You know, I was thinking about this thought. History is really future if we'll let it be. We always look at history in the past, but history is future if we'll let it be. Because yesterday's events can be tomorrow's happenings if we'll follow them in the right manner. I want to say that all historic triumphs of the divine arm and strength of God, my friend, ought to be a blessing to you and I in the present day of battle. When I look at old Gideon and how Gideon fought with only 300 men, it encourages my heart to know that the divine arm of Almighty God destroyed the enemies of Christ and gave Gideon a glorious victory. I'm here to tell you that if God gave victory to Gideon, God can and will also give a glorious victory to you and I that are in the battle also. Amen. What God has been and what God has done is an earnest of what God will yet do, be, and what God will yet do. What God was to them, God will be to us. What God did for them, God will do for us. And we fail to recognize that. Oh, I'm simply saying that there are those that have went on before us that have left some footsteps, that if we'll follow the footsteps, they'll make the way that we travel much more precious. There'll be a glow along the way. Son, I'm telling you, most Baptists I know are walking yet down a pathway of darkness. My friend, when we have got a glorious light along the way, that if we'll follow them, my friend, and I'm going to say this, if you'll follow those footsteps, you cannot come out in the wrong place. If their footsteps ultimately led to the throne of God, I'll guarantee if we'll follow them, we too will wind up at the throne of God in His presence. That's right. Amen. I'll not be long this morning. I think I only got about four little points. Like I said, if you didn't shout on the singing, you ain't going to shout. I'll guarantee you on that. I want to mention, first of all, the footprints of godly parents that'll make the pathway glow. Oh, yes, sir, that gives a responsibility to those of us that are parents to live right, to be right, that our children and grandchildren behind us may follow in the same footsteps that we have trodden down. Amen to God, that they might use them as a guide on to get to the glory world in like manner that you and I have. May I say to you, if our parents have lived ungodly lives and set wicked illustrations and examples, how in heaven's name do we expect the generation that's coming up today to ever find their way to God? I'm here to tell you, my friend, I would hate to be some of the parents of the generation of my age. Amen to God. All you got to do is look at the crowd that is coming up behind us, and you'll see a product of sin and ungodliness and wickedness, and they've learned it from mommy and daddy, amen, and from the stinking television set. But I'm glad that every now and then God will raise up a godly mommy and daddy, save them by the grace of God, set them down in the house of God, and make them an example to their children that they can follow in a glowing footstep along the way. Hallelujah to God. Some of y'all is as puffed up as a toad frog, and if you don't smile, I'm fixing to let the air out of your sail. That's right. That's God punch a punching bag before you come to church on Sunday morning. Sitting here and cripple God and cripple the preaching. God help you. Puffed up and blowed up, mad at the world. Because everything ain't quite a going your way. Come on now. That is exactly right. What about the footsteps of godly parents? You know what Paul said to a young preacher by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1? He said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance
of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, listen now, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in me, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it dwells in thee also. Brother, there was a young preacher by the name of Timothy that had a mother that lived for God. He had a grandmother that lived for God. He had a mother and a grandmama, my friend, that lived under the canopy and umbrella of old-time religion and knew what it was to be saved and to follow the Lord in the free pardon of sin and the pathway of pilgrimage, my friend, that would ultimately lead them into the very throne room of heaven. I say that by way of encouragement. Amen. Son, to you mommies and daddies. Amen. You better quit hobnobbing and hem-hawing around. You've got little eyeballs that is watching you. It ain't no wonder today's children are eat up with sports because their mom and daddy can't get away from the tube on Saturday and Sundays from the football games and the baseball games. Huh? Amen to God. It ain't no wonder that they sit at 10, 11 years old and suck on cigarettes. They've watched mom and daddy suck on them. It ain't no wonder, my friend, that they learn to cuss when they're 3 and 4 years old. They've heard mom and daddy cuss when they're 3 and 4 years old. It ain't no wonder that they're drunks. They've watched mom and daddy get drunk. I'm going to tell you, it ain't no wonder that they're hypocrites at the house of God, where they've watched mommy and daddy sit on the church pew of a church as a hypocrite down at the house of God. We were sitting at Brother Rain's dinner table the other night. His little granddaughter was sitting there. And she thought she was going to have to go somewhere. She didn't want to go. And her mama told her, said, well, don't worry. Said, I've worked it out where you can stay here and go to church tonight. That little girl smiled and said, well, praise be to glory. I don't know where she got to praise be to glory at, but you can praise glory if you want to. I'm going to tell you where I think she might have heard that. She may have heard it sitting at that grandpa's supper table. She may have heard it at her mama's dinner table. I'm here to tell you, friend, there needs to be a godly prayer. So I'm telling you children in here tonight, today, if you have got a mama and a daddy that loves God and walks with God and respects the man of God and respects the house of God, honey, I tell you, you've got a rare commodity in 1999. You better love them, pray for them, and follow the godly example that they've set in your life. Hallelujah to God. Footsteps that'll make the pathway glow. It's much easier on child. It was for old Timothy. Paul said, Timothy, you had a mama that lived for God. She had unfeigned faith. You had a grandmama that lived for God. She had unfeigned faith. And said, that's right. And I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that the same faith they had dwells in you also. May I say that you can follow the faith of your parents. Hallelujah to God. Nothing like it. Hey parents, it is imperative for that child of yours. You are the greatest example that they have. Exercise great faith in the Son of God. Amen. Believe Him in your life for provisions in your life and for protection in your life. Make Him number one and preeminent in your life. Amen. Set a godly example that when that child grows up, they'll not let one thing come between them and God. I tell you, we've been so wish-washy, in and out, up, down, yo-yo. Set such an example before our kids that God is no longer the preeminent thing in their lives anymore. Son, we've made everything. Socials. Family reunions. Huh? Get-togethers. Ever we'll let any little thing keep us out of the house of God and make excuses why we ought to stay out of the house of God, and make excuses why we ought to drag our children out of the house of God. You're full of hell, thank you. Amen to God. You are full of hell and rebellion right there along that line, and I said it, glory to God. Better believe that's right. Turn your family against God and against the preacher, against the house of God. Huh? Tell me, where you feed? Well, if you don't know, O fairest of women among women, follow the footsteps of thy flock and lead your kids down yonder by the tents of the shepherd's house. Wonder what he meant by the tents of the shepherd's house. Tents of the shepherds. We might get to that in just a little while. Follow the faith of your parents. Lois and Eunice, mother and grandmother of Timothy, had an unfeigned faith. What about following mom and daddy's family values? Huh? Ain't we having fun today? God help us to get back to some family values. Son, they're aborting babies. Amen. They're killing babies as they come out of the womb. In fact, they are bringing them out of the womb, turning their bodies around, poking them back in the womb feet first, and sucking their brains out of them. And us Baptists sit on our stool and do nothing and refuse to even comment about it to our children, telling God's name, you think they'll ever grow up with a real family value and oriented in the family if we let junk like that go on. Not much family values, but they're talking all over America about family values. Politicians talk about it. I wish some of them would practice it. Huh? I wish some of them would practice family values. I wish preachers would practice family values. I wish parents would practice family values and learn to spend time with your family. May I say, the only way you can instill family values into your family is to spend time with your family. Gentlemen, you cannot influence that child when you're never around them. You cannot influence that child, my friend, unless you spend time with them. Hey, just like it said in Deuteronomy 6, tell them about the Word of God when you lay down at night, and tell them about the Word of God when you get up in the morning. Tell them about the Word of God while you live during the day. I'm telling you, we've backslid so far, my friend, and failed to communicate God's values, which are real family values, to the children in our own household. Immorality and indecency. I've never in my born days... I had a preacher to call me last night. If I called his name, everybody in this building would know who I'm talking about. You know him, without a doubt. He said, "Preacher, I had to do something today that broke my heart." He said, "I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it." But he said, "I had to do it." He said, "I got wind that a man in the church was running with a woman downtown," and said, "I prayed about it, and just waited on God and said, finally, some of the men of the church approached me a week or so ago and said, by the way, said, we have seen so-and-so down here with a woman. And said, preacher, we really need to do something about it." So he went yesterday and confronted that man. You want to hear how immoral it was? The man was 77 and the woman was 34. Oh, what an example, my friend, to set in the house of God, or even to set to his family. And by the way, when they went to visit the old man, his son was right there in the very house with him. God have mercy! It is no wonder that we've raised up a bunch of negligent juveniles at the house of God when we fail to set the right example before them already. I'm going to say something. Family values is not only out there, folks. It comes right on down to the house of God. Amen. You sit in the presence of your kids and chew and gnaw on the preacher, murmur and complain about everything going on in the church, and gripe and cuss and cavort. You think, hey, you ain't going to do nothing but turn that child against the man of God, turn that child against the church, turn that child against God, amen to God, and deprive them of the blessing of life. They'll wind up in hell if we don't get our values and our priorities where they ought to be, at the house of God is perished. I probably, by the way, preached my last time at Light of Calvary. I don't know. Had good services, but there's a bunch of them. Brother Randy's on Friday night, and I was preaching on the home. And I got on that woman being a fruitful vine, and I told him that your wife is not a brood sow. Now, some of them didn't like that. But she's not. Huh? Family values. May I say, then, the footprints of those godly parents, they ought to be there, and then there's their failures. Kids, I'm going to tell all you kids in here, you watch Mama and Daddy. They're not perfect. I said the bride is an imperfect bride. She said, I'm black, but I'm comely. Amen to God. She said, tell me where you feed. She's not perfect by no stretch of the imagination. She is an imperfect person. And that does not give you and I a right to sin. We're going to fail. We are going to fail as parents somewhere along the line. But I'm going to tell you, if we fail and we tell our children, the problem is Mom and Daddy don't want to tell the child that they failed. Mom and Daddy's always right, never made a mistake, never fouled up one earthly time, and yet their life is in a mess, and them children sitting back wondering, what on God's name's going on? Mom and Daddy tells me everything's all right, they're doing right, ain't got no problems, and yet our family's a wreck and a mess! Failures. Somebody said, well, preacher, why should we tell them about our failures so they will not follow that footprint, friend? They can avoid our failures if we'll tell them that we failed. Huh? You better believe that's right. Those folks don't want to confess that. Now I'm going to tell you something else. We need to set a godly example and leave a glowing footprint at our farewells. Son, when they stretch me out in the casket, I want my, amen to God, I want my youngins to be able to look back over my life and say, Daddy done right. And I'm going to do right. I've got news for you. If you run me off tomorrow, I'm going to do right today. Amen. I'm not going to stop doing right. Oh, no, sir. I'm going to make right decisions. I am going to do right. When they stretch me out, and I hope maybe right here, some preacher gets up, man, and lets her rip and slobbers at the mouth and preaches heaven sweet and hell hot and talks about my life. I don't want folks to have to sit in the pew and say, well, wonder why that preacher's lying about the man of God. I am sick and tired of going to funerals and sitting down in funerals, and the fella lived like hell all of his life, drank liquor, cussed, swore, run with women, committed adultery, and yet when he dies, all of a sudden, he's a wonderful man. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Your life will speak for itself. You're writing history. You are writing a history book. Yes, sir, a personal history book. And there's little eyes watching you and little ears listening to you. And the book that they're reading is Mommy and Daddy in the hole. Mommy and Daddy in the house of God. What's Mommy and Daddy done at church? How have they lived at church? Do they really study the Bible? Do they read the Bible? Do they pray? Do they worship God? Do they praise God? Amen. Are they faithful to the house of God? Have they learned to give and worship at the house of God? God, help us. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a preaching a little bit, but there is somebody that's a grieving God in here today. I'll assure you that. I know who it is. Need to get right with God. Huh? That's right. What about the footprints of a gracious pastor? Somebody said, well, you ain't been much. Well, I'd be the first to say I ain't been all that I ought to be. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You could do worse than look at your preacher. I've got three children. Glory be to His praise. Amen. Praise to His glory. Praise be to glory. I've got three of them, and they're all in the house of God. Amen. I don't think God's done too bad in my life. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, somebody said, but you've been a failure. Yes, I have. But I'm going to tell you what. If we'll stay right with God in our attitude and our spirit and seek the Lord's help, and confess our sins and turn from our wicked ways. God will forgive and overcome and give grace to us.
Better believe that's right. Huh? Listen what Brother Paul said. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11, remember them which have the rule over you. Somebody said, I knew he'd preach on. No, I'm not going to say nothing about ruling over you. But he goes on to say, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Who do you think that'd be?
Yes, sir,
who do you think that'd be that's spoken unto you the word of God? That pastor God's given you. I'm telling you, a preacher is the most misunderstood man in the hour that we're living in. Son, I went to the emergency room a few weeks ago with Stevie when he had that virus attack. They carried him in the back room and kept him back there a while. The door opened. We asked the girl where he was at. She said, oh, he's back there. I told Angie, I said, well, let's just go on back there and see him. She said, oh, no, we don't allow nobody back there. I said, you mean tell me you don't even allow a man's pastor that is sick and his pastor can't even get into the room where he's at to pray with him and talk with him? I'm here to tell you, my friend, there's about as much respect for the man of God today. I'm going to tell you what they'll do, though. Somebody gets sick and near death, they've already set up counselors, psychiatrists, and psychologists that can help folks with their troubles. Airplane crashes and folks are struggling with sorrow and grief over the loss of their loved ones. They don't say a thing. I'm going to tell you back when Brother Nolan was in a seminary back down in Texas. I'll tell you who they called, my friend, around the Dallas area when a big jet went down, 200 and some people killed, and they had them stretched out in plastic bags in the auditorium of a high school. They called for the preachers of the area to come by to give folks something spiritually from the Word of God to help them in their grief. I'm going to tell you who they call today.
Right.
Call some psychologist.
Right.
Well, he can help their mind, you know. It ain't the mind, bless God, it's the heart that needs help, friend. Huh? It's hope that they need to have. It's something bright they need to be given. I'm going to tell you, a psychiatrist don't know anything about Jesus. Somebody said, well, preacher, what would you tell him if you was there? I'd say there's the footsteps of the Master that led to Calvary and back down the other side. Walk the cobblestone path in his footsteps to Calvary's hill and follow him back down the victory side all the way to the throne of God. What I'd tell him. Amen to God. Godly pastor. The Bible said there, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know what the word conversation stands for in that passage? Behavior. Follow their conduct. Follow their conduct. How they behave themselves. I read an article the other day in a newspaper owned by a woman out in Arizona. Said she had endorsed George Bush for president. Said the reason being she knew Mr. McCain, and said that he had a temper that flew up every now and then. And she just couldn't support a man with a temper. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. I wouldn't give you a dime for a man that can't get stirred up a little bit. That's one problem in our homes now and in our pulpits. We got a bunch of panty waist men that cannot get stirred up and angry. Sin, by the way, I do not have to watch 30 minutes of Madonna in the nude to get mad enough to preach against sin. God help a bunch of asinine preachers that make statements like that. Huh? Follow their behavior. I tell you, I went home and watched the Madonna. My friend, I'm setting an example before you, giving you a right to go home and watch Madonna. That is right. Behavior. Conduct. And by the way, go in there and pick up one of them 1828 Noah Webster's that I just brought three of them in from Brother Rank. Open it up and look at conduct. I'm going to tell you what it means. It means to guide or to guard or to direct somebody else.
Conduct is a guide, my friend. God said if that preacher will conduct himself and be a guide, my friend, he can be a leader to other people that their footsteps might be a little brighter as they make their way through this pilgrimage for God.
Amen.
Trouble with most people, they've got the idea today the preacher ain't nothing but just some little Johnny-come-lately, whistle-britch is nothing, that don't have nothing to say to them. They know as much about the Word of God and as much about living for God as he does, and they don't pay a bit of attention to his life because they're too influenced by television, Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and Zorro and NFL and NBL and ACL and the NAACP and the ACLU and all that crowd and all of it, as far as I'm concerned, can go to hell. I'm about fed up with it. You know what? They're raising sand, South Carolina, over the rebel flag being up on the state building that's been down there for years. And some black lawyer, a woman lawyer, went out on the courthouse steps in Greenville County and burnt the American flag. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'd done if I'd have been there. I'd have tried to put it out. I might have got my butt whipped, but I'll guarantee you I'd have took some of them down with me. Ain't no egg sucker going to burn the flag in front of me without me trying to put the flag out, the fire out. I fought for that flag. I'll fight for that one, and I'll fight for that one, and I really don't care who I fight. Hallelujah to God. That one there has kept me free, and that one set me free for eternity, and both of them is worth fighting for, bless your heart. What we need is some Baptists to get stirred up about values in the home and the house of God and the country we're living in and set an example for our children to follow.
Amen.
How do you expect us to be any different than what we are when my generation, we got a generation now burning the American flag. You know who they are? They're the children of that Vietnam era that burnt the American flag back in the 60s in Vietnam in the 70s, burnt down cities, Detroit, amen to God, burned Detroit and Los Angeles to the ground. That's right. That's the crowd. That's the children today. Burned the American flag, dodged the draft, went to Canada, went to Russia, come back from Russia, and made him the President of the United States. Isn't that wonderful? What family values. What an example. What an example. There ain't enough pastors, son, that's got enough backbone about them to stand up and preach against that mess. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, I will. I don't care. Hey, don't you try to burn the flag. Don't you desecrate the flag around me, buddy. I may not hit you with my fist, but I'll get on. If I can get to that flag, I'm going to put the fire out. And if you take a swing at me, buddy, look out. The hair's getting ready to fly. That's right. Somebody said, I wouldn't do that. Hey, folks, I watched 14 boys in one day for that flag right there. 14 of them in one day. In 3 seconds. You're going to judge me as a bigot because I said I'll fight for that flag? You need to get saved, sir. You need to get right with God. And don't tell me we're not supposed to fight for that one. You just misread the Bible.
Right. Amen.
He fought sin and hell by the acre to buy us the spiritual freedom that we have. And God help us if we lay down on our backsides and let a bunch of bigots destroy the spiritual freedom that we've got in America.
Amen.
Huh? May God help us.
Yes,
son, that's right. And I'm going to say this, that her lips the devil. There's a young preacher in the area that's run with double married preachers and people that don't believe like we do and try to run with me. And because I tried to help the boy, blowed up in my face and wrote me a letter, called me a control freak. No control freak. Did you get mad at me because I sat down in a preacher's fellowship with Cletus Bowman? My Bible tells me, my friend, not to associate myself with fornicators. And he is a fornicator and an adulterer, and I am not sitting down in a fellowship with him. And that preacher can like that or lump that. Hump it, bump it. Don't make a flip to me one way or the other. Boy, ain't we having fun. Conduct. I said that, and I don't know what time it is. Don't really care. That conduct. Hey, guarded. I'm talking about the end of his conversation. I'm talking about a pastor that will guard himself from sin. I'm talking about throwing up a guard, my friend, a bulwark, and protecting and guarding yourself from sin and not letting every sin creep in. And by the way, we need pastors and mommies and daddies like Nehemiah that'll build a wall around their family. Amen. To keep sin out of their lives. Most folks don't know what it is. I mean, the preacher will try to set standards, and people in the church will get mad because a man of God has tried to guard his family and guard his church against sin. Folks, you cannot treat sin like a cream puff. I don't care how pretty it might look. It will burn you down the road somewhere. It'll get you, friend. The wages of sin is still death. And down the road somewhere, it'll get you. And yet a preacher gets up and preaches that the television is dangerous? Huh? That's an abomination for a woman to put on that which pertains to a man? Huh? That we ought to get back to family values and stand up against sodomites that is overrunning our country? Miss Hall, Miss Rains went shopping down there on Friday, down to Belk's or Penny's or somewhere in Greenville, and some older, you wouldn't see it out of this modern day crowd, Brother Jerry. You wouldn't see it out of them. But Miss Hall walked up to pay, and there's three boys. She said, yeah, what about them? That woman said, they bought a dress. Miss Hall said, my husband buys me dresses for Christmas. She said, you don't understand, ma'am. They bought the dress for themselves. Today is in the dressing room trying it on. Huh? Older woman. Mama said, probably well in her 70s. Dr. Sy, I'm talking about values, friend. I'm talking about guarding ourselves against sin. See, that family, them kids' mom and daddy has not set a bit of an example in front of them. And they have... Oh, somebody said, but preacher, I'm here to tell you, friend, that your child is not exempt from the tug and the pull of a sodomite community that is overwhelming and overrunning our country today. And there's coming an hour, if we don't stand up against it, they will do their best to overrun the house of God and make their way into the church house. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Son, you are stupid if you don't believe it. Huh? Old Jerry Falwell done sat down with them. They called him brother. I'm talking about a preacher that will guard his life from sin and guide his family and gives to the work of God. You can follow that example. Huh? What has worked for the preacher will work for you. If it worked for the man of God, it'll work for you. Why do you think God set him here? The husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. I'm not up here preaching to you something that I'm trying to get to. I do my best to live what I preach. Miss Hall and I went down to that beach and they wasn't, I say, four people within a half a mile in both directions of us. Bright, sunshiny day, and we both had on our clothes. Do you want to check? That water, where it come in, I don't know what they call the thing, but that beach had white sand. It went down like that, and then it went out. And the water was coming in here, and right where the water was, it had a little dip like that. Miss Hall said, honey, said, I got to put my toes in that water. She walked down there, and them waves is coming up. She's standing there like that, them waves. And I walked down and stood up on this side of her, took my shoes off, and I said, boy, it's just as pretty and clear. You can see that sand out through there. And there wasn't nobody. We were standing there like that water. And all at once, that wave washed the sand out from under Miss Hall's feet. And son, she began to slip and slide. I grabbed her on this, went over the top of her. Both of us went head first like a beach whale, son, out into that water, floundering around. I thought, my God, and I kicked, and I got up once, and she floundered, and I fell down. I said, Lord, I hope there ain't nobody watching this mess going on, son. It was the awfulest mess you ever seen in your life. But I guarantee you we didn't get out there in a bathing suit, lay down in the sun, put on a pair of shades and lay there and sun, smear suntan lotion all over, and come back looking like a piece of bacon.
Amen.
I want to say, thirdly, we can follow the footprints of glorified pilgrims. I'm talking about those that have went on before us. They'll make the pathway glow. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Follow the footprints of the glorified saints. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And because we are, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that doth so easily beset us, that we might run the race with patience. I'm here to tell you, Hebrews chapter 11, my friend, makes the pathway glow. When I read about Abel that made it, when I read about Noah that made it, when I read about Enoch that made it, when I read about Abraham that made it, Abraham's wife that made it, when I read about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph that made it, when I read about Rahab that made it, when I read about Gideon and Nephthah and all those that made it, I tell you, it makes the pathway glow. And if they made it, thank God, God will give you the grace to make it.
Amen.
But I'm going to have to lay aside every weight.
Amen.
I'm going to have to lighten the load. I'm going to guarantee you one thing. There's some of you in here this morning. I'm not talking about outward sin. I'm not talking about television. I'm not talking about adultery. I'm not talking about cussing. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that there's some of you sitting on the pews in here this morning, that you are as loaded down in your heart with disgruntledness and irritation that if you don't get her right with God, if you don't lighten that load you're carrying, one of these days the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back will break you.
Right.
And you'll be a gone goose, as we say in Indiana. I know what I'm talking about. I'm your pastor. See, that's exactly what I'm trying to talk about. I'm trying to talk about guiding, the pastor that guides you and gives you direction for your life. I'm giving you good advice this morning, sir, ma'am. I'm not trying to be ugly with you.
Right.
If you don't like some things, and you ain't right with God because you don't like some things, and that load on your heart is going to keep weighing you down and weighing you down, and that old attitude will become a bitter spirit. You better lighten that load. You can't run with a heavy load. Track runners put on track shoes to run and little light clothing. They don't have a lot of weight. And they run that race. Amen to God. And live patiently. He said, run ye race with patience. Live patiently. Some folks think God needs to do something right now. I mean, just a very instant, God needs to do something. Old Brother Ricky called me last night and said, just called to see if you got home, Pastor. I said, I got here about 2 hours ago. Unloaded the vehicle. I said, did you get a job once you're interviewed? He said, no, they interviewed me, but I ain't got the job yet. I kind of laughed a little bit. I said, you still rocking, huh? I'm not a bit worried about that. And I'm going to tell you why. A man that is not afraid of work, and he ain't afraid of work, God will put him in a job somewhere. He ain't afraid of. I mean, a man that is not afraid of work can find work somewhere. There's people all over the country looking for people that's not afraid to work. They're tired of a bunch of earring wearing, baggy pant, hat on backwards, lazy egg suckers that wouldn't strike a lick at a rattlesnake if it's curled at their feet. unless their food stamps happen to be under their shoes.
Go ahead.
Live patiently, and then look to Jesus.
Amen.
May I say lastly, the footprints that make the pathway glow are the footprints of the glorious person of Jesus.
Amen.
He said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." I want to say a couple of things about those footsteps of Jesus. Now, you hear me well. Solomon said, follow the footsteps of the flock. Jesus is in the midst of the flock. Ain't that right? Ain't he supposed to be in the midst of his people? He's right in the midst of his flock. Now, somebody said, "Preacher, then how can we follow the footsteps of Jesus? They're trampled all over by the footsteps of the sheep." But I want to say this to you, that the shepherd's footprint ain't nothing like the feet of the sheep. They make a very distinctive mark that are not, they're so much different from the footprints of the sheep, you won't have any problem following them. Me and Miss Hall took our shoes off down there on that beach and she started walking. And that little old number 5 of hers, about that long, I just walked along beside of her. I looked back and I said, "Which set of footprints you think's mine, Mrs. Hall?" She said, "It's not hard to tell, them bigger ones." I'm going to tell you what, you don't have any problem on this pathway, this journey. Some folks are just so confused, they can't seem to find their way, don't know where God's leading them, can't find their way. Hey, it ain't hard to follow His footprints. They're so much different. And I want to say following His, and they'll put a brighter glow, friend, along your way if you'll learn to follow Jesus in life.
Amen.
Trouble so many people, they just buck at what God wants. And it's their will, they just buck at what God wants. Just do what God wants. You'll never come out in the wrong place. Follow Him. Now I'm going to tell you something else. Not only are they distinctive, but they're delightful. I have never regretted the day that I set out following the Lord. You girls wouldn't either.
Amen.
Praise God, He's wonderful.
Amen.
Huh? What did that songwriter say? Huh? Somebody in here this morning, you may be lost. You're looking for somebody to follow. I can point you to the one. Sweetly, Lord, we have heard Thee calling, come follow me. And we see where Thy footprint's falling, lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Though they lead o'er the cold dark mountain seeking His sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. If they lead through the temple holy, listen, young men, preaching the word. Or if in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Would you stand and sing that fourth verse with me? Sing right with me. Then at last, when on high He sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at His throne. Footsteps of Jesus that make the pathway glow.
We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Page 330, let's sing that song if you would, as a congregation. And if God has spoken to your heart about your home, your family values, about the footsteps, look here. Do you know where they led? The footprints or footsteps of the flock led to the feeding place. Beside still waters, in green pastures. How about it, Mom and Daddy? You're the real example. You ought to be to your children. Are you really setting that godly example before them? The house of God. Let's sing that song together. Dedicate yourself today to God. Follow me, and we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Though they lead over the cold, dark mountains, seeking His minute now, and we'll be dismissed this morning. I don't want to get in any hurry. All these are still praying. See no point of rushing. That just a little bit of the wrong influence in the lives of our family can turn them permanently in the wrong way. And the wrong way is what the Bible calls out of the way. You turn your child out of the way because of your misconduct and your lack of zeal for God. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. She is going to be difficult for you at the judgment seat of Christ.